Hey, this is Todd. Thanks for listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast, Recruiting Week. Our team at Lifeway Leadership would like to personally invite you to join us in Nashville this October for Pipeline 2018. This conference is all about recruiting. And if you sign up by Tuesday, May 29th, with the promo code Recruiting Week, you can actually receive 20% off the conference. So here's the thing. If you don't recruit leaders, you don't have anyone to develop. That's your first step. So if you want to learn more about how to recruit leaders more effectively and create a culture of leadership development in your church, then bring your team to Pipeline this fall. To register, just go to myleadershippipeline.com. Once again, that's myleadershippipeline.com. Now, enjoy the podcast.
You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well, today is day five of Recruiting Week. I hope you enjoyed this last week where we talked about what recruiting is, the types of recruiting, current methods of recruiting, how to create a culture of recruiting. And today we want to talk all about onboarding. So if you haven't gone and listened to the other ones, be sure to do so. All four we did together with Eric Geiger, and today it's just Todd and I.
Yep.
So it can either, it's either going to be better,
or the wheels are completely going to fall off.
Yes.
Or go off the rails, but still have wheels.
Yes.
Precisely. Which is even worse because you go farther that way.
Well, let's get straight into the first question, which is, how important is it to onboard volunteers well?
Well, I mean, you know, there's the old expression, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. And so I think that follows through even when you're talking about onboarding a volunteer. So you have either, one way or another, you have either cast vision and inspired this person to get into this volunteer position, or you've basically guilted them into being in this volunteer position. Either way, you want to completely wow them when you're bringing them on board. And the way that you wow them is to make sure that you have everything clean and clear. You want to make sure they know what their next steps are, that those are clearly defined and laid out. You want to make sure you're giving them a role profile. You never want them wondering, what am I supposed to do, or where am I going next? And making sure that you also connect another person to this process so that they walk through this well. You can't onboard a person through an email or, you know, giving them an information sheet. So we talk about, people that listen to the podcast regularly know we've talked about before, you want to create tour guides, not travel agents. So it's not, the travel agent mentality is really treats training as transactional and onboarding as transactional. Hey, mm-hmm. Here's a pamphlet. Let me send you on your journey. Here's the information. Let me book that for you versus I'm going to take you through this process. So it's very important to have people embedded in each ministry area that their role is taking someone through the process. And by the way that you have the strongest pipeline possible is that everybody sees it their job to make sure that every volunteer that comes into their ministry, it's their personal responsibility to make sure that person gets in and gets going.
Yeah. So on the one hand, you may have listened to Todd and thought, man, but that's like a lot to talk to a brand new volunteer about. It's a lot to kind of drop on them. I don't want to scare them and with too much information and make them feel like it's too big of a commitment. But it's actually better to be clear on the front end, because most volunteers want to know from the outset, hey, what am I getting into? And the clearer you are with your expectations, and if you have a role description and you have training and you're like, this is how we're going to get you on board. I mean, the more prep you do on the front end, that actually puts the volunteer at ease, because they're like, oh, okay, I know exactly what I'm signing up for. You guys know what you're doing, because a lack of information actually conveys a lack of organization, a lack of confidence, and it kind of, for your best, it's going to actually detract your best volunteers.
And, you know, again, we talk about M Pipeline. If you came to one of our coaching days or you went through like a learning community, you would see, we say, hey, your volunteers don't need to know how the sausage is made. Mm. Like, you don't need to expose everything to them. You don't need to cram all the information into one tight little package from the beginning. What you want to do is do that over time and link it together. So the big thing that I would really encourage you to do is make sure that you spend enough time on it to get it simple and clear. If you, it's one thing not to have a process and just kind of wing it. It's another thing to, you know, think about it some and get it all down and get it down tip to tail. If you want to really go the extra mile, that's when you take all of that and put it in a way that flows together, that is simplified and distilled down into only what is absolutely essential. I can remember early on preaching after seminary, something I wasn't taught, which is what Lon Solomon taught me at McLean. And I didn't speak at that time. He wasn't hearing me speak, but I was listening to the feedback that he was giving the people around me. And he's like, hey, the reason why you're preaching 45 minutes and not 30 minutes is you didn't spend enough time in your sermon prep. Mm. If you, you know, spent this amount of time, whatever amount of that time was, and you spent a third more time, you would actually reduce the time and distill down what you wanted to say. You're preaching too long and not hitting the mark because you didn't spend enough time in preparation.
Yeah, so preparing and having the right role description and documents and onboarding process, there's a difference between handing your volunteer a one and a half, two pager versus a 10 page document. Oh, yeah. The 10 page
document. Don't give them a three, don't give your all your volunteers a three ring binder.
No. Those days are far gone. Yeah, don't waste some money on that. Give them a quick printout or say, hey, I'll email you the one pager. And in that one page, give them that synopsis. And actually, as they are onboarding and getting in, and that's what we do all, I mean, Ministry Grid is all about training on the go. So what you can actually do is we have ministry descriptions, one page descriptions for pretty much every role that you have in your church or could think about having in your church. And what you can do is customize that, give it to them and say, okay, now watch this video or that video, which is already filmed, or you could film yourself and upload it. And then when they're done that, then continue to drip out content. And by doing that, it actually makes it more, it's more conducive for their learning. They're more likely to be engaged, and actually onboarding them well includes training, that initial training, and doing all that incredibly well will actually increase their likelihood to serve long-term and to want to continue serving and want to be a part of moving up your pipeline and recruiting other people to join it.
All right, cool. I'm going to move us into our second question, which is how important are clearly articulated vision and values to an onboarding process?
Well, it's always best, as, and we've talked about this all week, right? I feel like this is one of those things that we've hammered on all throughout the week, that we need to recruit to vision, right? Don't recruit to a need. Don't be all, oh, woe is me. I have so much work to do. Can you just help out a little? You know, don't shame or guilt people to serve. Recruit to vision. Recruit them to say, hey, you know what? Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, and recruit towards that. Actually, this last Sunday, I was preaching on one of our core values at our church, which is plurality in leadership. And I was talking about Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and about the spiritual gifts. And I feel, and this is actually what I shared there. I was like, hey, too often when we look at those and we look at the gifts and we look at all the roles in the church, we are more obsessed with discovering our unique gifting when in fact, the entire point of those passages is not as much of, it's not really about finding your gift as it is of helping the body of Christ grow, helping, you know, pointing people to Christ, the wholeness, the health, the strength of the body that comes about when we are all serving in whatever role or in whatever unique kind of contribution that we are giving. So there's this quote by, I'm forgetting his name, but he basically says, it's not a matter of finding your gift as it is a matter of being a gift. right? So what does it look like for you to recruit to that and say, hey, as you serve, this is actually the ministry that Christ came to do. I mean, Christ came to serve. And actually, when we serve, we are becoming more like Christ in and through that. And as you serve, that's when you begin discovering your giftedness, your passion, your areas. And that's how you grow, right? You don't wait until you're perfect before you serve, right? We serve. And that's part of the process of discipleship and of growing and of development. So things like that, right? Point to the scriptures. We've talked about conviction, culture, constructs from design to lead and build that out, but really recruit to vision.
So I'm going to take this in a slightly different bent. I'm not going to debate you, Daniel. I'm just going to take it in a slightly different bent. We debated on our other podcast.
We did, and I won.
Oh, whatever. What episode was that?
266 on the New Church's podcast.
Go to 266 on New Church's podcast.
Yeah, no joke. There's 8-bit Rocky music we play.
That's true.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right. So I'm going to come at this is selection. So selection is really important, and the higher you would go in a leadership pipeline, the more oversight or responsibility that you're giving to a person, the more important the selection is. That the selection of that person must align, their values and their passions must align with your vision and values. So if you don't know your vision and values, you're in trouble, because you can put the wrong people up in front, and then their loud voice, their vision, their values becomes the direction of the team. So if you don't have those clearly in place and you haven't selected people accordingly, you could get people moving in the opposite direction that you actually want them. And that is absolutely essential. The higher you go, and then the more strategic ministries of a church. And when I say more strategic, I mean those that are the foundational functional ministries of the church. So,
yeah, I mean, we've talked about values quite a bit, and I did an INESL on the relationship between strategy, vision, and values from No Silver Bullets. And I mean, we'll link to it in the show notes. Thanks, Todd. We'll link to it in the show notes. But if you go back and watch that, the thing about your values is they need to be so clear that people can read that and they'll actually opt out of serving, or they'll opt out of becoming a part of your church.
Opt out of your church altogether.
Yeah, and that's how clear your values have to be. Too often, what we find how many church leaders have we coached now through our pipeline process? Right?
It's getting close to 29.
Yeah.
So 2900.
When you look at that and the number of time, yeah, not 29
live in
people.
Person too. I'm not talking about, 2900 people have listened to my webinar.
Yeah. Or
no,
come
this
to
is
our
in
conference.
Person.
Yeah. This is in person in small groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we look at all that, the thing that we often find is like, hey, in order for you to implement pipeline, you need to figure out your values. And for you to figure out your values, this is not about being Bible-based, gospel-centered, spirit-filled, whatever those are permission to play values. They're great, right? But they're statement of faith things. You need to identify and articulate your core values, which are going to then influence and impact who serves, who doesn't serve, and who can, that's kind of how you recruit people to vision. All right. Well, question three is, how do you audit the elements of your onboarding process?
A stack of post-it notes and a large wall.
Yep.
And case studies. I mean, never underestimate the value of a case study, because you as a staff person or leader, ministry leader, if you're listening to this, you fully understand your ministry process and you could articulate it. The problem is, it was probably created by you, or you learned it over the course of time, and you no longer have the perspective to be able to see the gaps and holes in it. So one of the exercises that I often recommend people is to say, hey, assimilation process guy, how do you know that person went from your new members class or your new visitors class? How did they get connected to that small group on Thursday night, 4 weeks after they came? And they would, give me some process that, they knew exactly how that happened. And I'd say, well, you don't really know how it happened until you do a couple of case studies on that. The other thing that you can do to audit any process is get a stack of post-it notes and run through all the scenarios from point A to point K. And then the most healthy thing, I think, we tend to think in a logical fashion, and our brains work in such a way that we fill in the gaps of information to make sense of it. So everybody's brain works that way. Everybody does that. We couldn't function, especially in the modern world with so much information happening all the time. We couldn't function if we our brains didn't act that way. So what it does, though, is it causes us blindness. And so if you start from K and work your way back to A, you're much more likely to figure out how that actually happened and any large gaps along the way. So if you can't seem to close the back door in your church, meaning I've got all these new people coming in and, you know, we had, I don't know, 349 new people come to our church this year. Well, why are there only 180, you know, last Sunday? We need to figure that out. We need to close the back door. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is look at some of our core processes and figure out where our gaps are and where we're kind of bleeding. And so I would highly recommend that, you know, you use those kind of tools to audit.
Yeah. And as you already know, our pipeline conference is October 10 to 12 this year, 2018, here in Nash, Vegas, or AKA Smashville, if you're a hockey fan.
Oh, yes, hockey.
But
the Canadian wants to bring up hockey again.
Now, the reason I bring that up is we're obviously going to have our big day on October 11 with a ton of speakers talking about recruiting at every single level. October 10 is going to be our standard pipeline coaching. How do you implement and understand and develop leadership pipeline for your church? But October 12 is brand new. It's brand new coaching content where it's all about recruiting. So if you've taken our leadership pipeline coaching or come to our previous conferences, October 12, that is all about helping you better recruit in your context.
That's a deep dive into recruiting.
It is. And we have audits there, going back to this question, audits that we're going to actually walk you through to understand and unpack your church culture, right? Not just your visible, but your invisible elements of your culture. Not only that, but we're going to really help you roll out, okay, craft that those role descriptions, discover and uncover those responsibilities so that you have systems and processes to actually recruit at every single level and equip your volunteers and your leaders to be able to do so as well. So if you haven't yet registered, be sure to do so, because you're going to walk away with those post-it note exercises when you come to our conference.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to move us on to question four. Where can I find some of these tools? Well, you just mentioned one place.
Yeah, the conference. And without sounding too self-promoting, I mean, Ministry Grid, honestly, if you look at what we do, both Todd and I, as pastors and having served in churches and still serving in our local churches, the thing that we have experienced and we have led our teams in is, the easy thing is whiteboarding, right? The easy thing is coming up with a, yes, we need to do this. The hard thing is implementation.
Totally.
So what we have done at Lifeway Leadership is actually develop a tool called Ministry Grid that is going to get you 80% there. Right. So, obviously we talked about hockey and that's kind of my passion, but living in Nashville, I've had to learn more about football. And when you think about football, it's like, hey, think about like this. Let's say through Ministry Grid, if you implement Ministry Grid at your church, it's like we have brought you to the 20-yard line and given you four downs to say, hey, we're not going to get you all the way there, but we have filmed. Yeah, we can't, because you need to contextualize it. You need to make it your own. But with the 750 courses, the 3,000 plus videos.
And templates, like, we talk about role descriptions. We talk about some of these audits, like, how do I, a ministry checklist? Like, what does that even, Todd, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
All that stuff is there and available. One of the places that I would also say, we can put this in the show notes, is there's an introduction to pipeline course that you can find on there. That would be really good too, to give you a high level overview if you're new to this pipeline conversation, or you're just like, I've heard this incessantly and I want to get, a really consolidated view of it. You all keep referencing various points of it, but I want to see it, you know, from tip to tail in a small place.
Yeah.
That's a good place to, it's a good place to look.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, last question. What are some practical, and I think you wrote this question, Todd, because this is totally your language, immediately applicable. That's the way you say it. What are some practical, immediately applicable ways you can improve your onboarding this week?
I would say you could get, well, again, like if you tried out the grid, you could get some templates for your role descriptions and immediately give people role descriptions. I can't tell you how many people that we've worked with personally. And again, you know, we do this all the time. I'll be leaving day after tomorrow, going to Denver with 40 dudes and, you know, doing the same thing. Most of those guys happen to be church planners, but, you know, walking through a process of how do I get this started? Well, the big things that, you know, I think tend to trip us up, especially in older established churches, is it's so complex. And each ministry has its own silo. So if you could just get everybody on the same page, or even if you run a large ministry, your ministry on the same page to have clear role descriptions for all your leaders and volunteers, that's going to put you light years ahead. If you could get on the same application, that would put you even further ahead. But those are two things that you could immediately go back and switch or change and say, hey, we're all going to do this. Or at least within my ministry, I don't provide most churches where I was starting with my response, sorry, is that most churches don't have clear role descriptions. So just by providing role descriptions, you're ahead of, you know, 80% of churches automatically.
Yeah.
And hey, this is a clear ask. I know what you're asking me to do. I know what my responsibilities are. And so I would say that's a big, big part.
Yeah. For me, if you're looking at something to do this week to better your onboarding, what I do is challenge yourself and also your team to begin to have conversations, recruiting conversations, to look at each of your circles of contacts and identify one or two people who aren't currently serving and make the ask. You know, I wouldn't necessarily approach strangers or people who have kind of come to the church for the very first time and they're not really connected in, but someone, you know, if you look at your circles and the people you know by name and connect with on a weekly basis, I'm sure you can identify one or two people who aren't currently serving. Maybe they served in the past, but they're not currently serving. So this week, on the weekend, when you see them, either schedule a coffee with them or lunch or grab them after the service and talk about where they can begin serving and if they've thought about doing that. And if there's an opportunity in your ministry area, recruit them to vision, recruit them, right? We've talked about kind of these elevator pitches, or, I mean, even if you think about the way Eric at the beginning of this week kind of pressured us into recruiting people to listen to the entire week, right? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily pressure all your volunteers to do all that, but what would it look like for you to have a single conversation or two conversations this week before or after the service?
In this day and age, you can no longer rely on someone's connection, conviction to be connected to your church as an institution. The builder and boomer generation, you could potentially count on them. If the church says this, then, you know, they do it. Today, if you want someone's time, talent, or treasure, it has to be connected to a compelling vision.
Yeah.
And you're asking them for the most valuable pieces of their life.
Yes.
And so you need to make sure that you're clear and compelling when you make the ask.
And personal.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening to Recruiting Week. I hope you enjoyed
That's just an onslaught of recruitingness. And that's not all. I mean, the big thing that we want you to walk away from with this week is, Again, Pipeline this fall is all about recruit, develop, and repeat. Mm-hmm. We just want to see you create a culture of recruiting in your church. So go to myleadershippipeline.com, check out that event, check out all the resources that we have toward that end. Thanks for listening so much, and have a great weekend.